Do you wish that all things wealth and finance were much easier to understand and not presented by a bunch of beige cardigan-wearing geeks? Welcome to the Clever Investor Podcast, where we're dishing up the easiest to understand finance program served in bite-sized chunks so your brain will thank you as your knowledge grows. Hosted by the brilliant Owen Taylor, a multiple award-winning expert with a glorious knack for explaining the complex world of wealth in the simplest of ways.
Hello and welcome to another show. And today we're talking about building your team. What am I talking about? Building a team? Hang on a sec. Now, I've been doing this wealth creation thing for many, many, many years. And one of the issues that I find with a lot of people is they're very enthusiastic to actually start to build some wealth or buy some property or to get some shares and such. But after a while, mixing all of that in with your everyday life, being a parent, climbing the corporate ladder, playing sports on weekends or whatever it is, you kind of start to run out of time after a while. And what I've coached people to look at is think about this wealth creation, think about this investment journey that you want to do as a business. And you are going to be the CEO of this business. Now, as the CEO of this business, and think about the CEO of any big corporation, any company, they certainly don't do everything themselves. They've got different departments. You know, they've got an accounts department, a HR department. You know, they've got a legal department and all of this as well. They don't take all of these things on. And the CEO as well doesn't have to know and doesn't have to hold qualifications in all of these different specialist fields. They're there to guide the ship, ask questions, get the right people doing that. And that's what you've actually got to do here. I also think about these things as well is the old saying of life is meant to be easy. And then there's the other one as well, that there's a tool for every single job. And it's not that I'm calling all of the people that I'm about to talk about as tools in a derogatory way. It's they're there to actually help you and help you achieve your goals. Dr. Google, as I've mentioned before, is a curse. You really shouldn't be getting your education. You shouldn't be getting your financial tips and tricks and all of that by just sitting on the sofa at home for a few hours with a glass of red wine, Googling these things. There's a team of people out there who are qualified and they're ready to actually help you. And the important thing as I go through this list here as well is all the people that I'm going to talk to you about that should be in your team all hold qualifications in their areas of expertise. They'll also all be, and the good ones will all be, members of professional associations. And every single person I'm about to speak to you about all has to do some form of continuing education every year to make sure they're up to date with the current legislations. They're looking at things that you can do and can't do, and maybe amending the plans or the stuff that they've spoken to you about before because it's either out of date or it's not current, or preparing for some big legislation changes into the future as well. Stuff that you really don't need to know about. That's why you've got these people on hand with you as well. The other thing as well is they're all going to hold professional insurance for just in case something maybe does go wrong as well. And as part of being members of the appropriate professional association, there has to be a dispute resolution process that they all have as well. So this means that it's going to help take some of the stress out of your life as well, knowing that these people have got your back, that they're going to be working in your behalf as well. And think about this. If you've ever interviewed anybody for a job, then do the same thing with these people as well. Your first meeting with them should actually be like an interview process. Do I think I can actually work with you? Are you going to be adding value to what I do? A lot of these people I'm going to talk to you about that are going to be on your team, they're often going to be referred to you by work colleagues or your friends or family and such, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be a perfect fit for you as well. All these people could be at different stages of their career. They could be, you know, 2 months away from retiring and their heart's not really in it. They could be somebody that's very, very new to this particular, qualification, and they haven't got all the experience that you need for maybe your complex situation. Interview them, talk with them, tell them what you actually want as well. And as I mentioned before, the really, really good ones are going to explain things to you like you're a 12-year-old. And if they can break down this complex world that they work in and simplify it for you, well, hey, you know what? That's the type of person that you really, really want on your team. And along the way, hopefully they're not going to make you feel silly about asking all of those stupid questions that you're doing. So let's have a look. Let's have a look at the first person, and I think possibly the most important one on the list, and it's got nothing to do with the fact that I've spent the last 20-odd years sort of in this profession as well, but a mortgage broker. Now, 25 years ago, mortgage brokers were few and far between, and when I started into the industry, I think I spent the first 20 minutes of any meeting with somebody explaining exactly what a mortgage broker does and how it differs from the bank. They're a lot more accepting now, and over 60% of all the mortgages written in Australia are written via mortgage brokers. Now, this is somebody who is trained and qualified in the area of what type of loan and what type of process you actually need. And they're also going to give you a choice of things. Now, a good mortgage broker as well is also going to tell you the things you do need and don't need. And if something changes in your life, how they're going to upgrade or downsize you from this and that as well. What you don't need to do is jump online and then start going through all the online bank calculators. Honestly, you are wasting your time with them. That is there purely as a marketing process for the banks. And what they tell you that you could potentially borrow, really don't worry with it. That's the job of your mortgage broker. When I have been presenting for years, I joke and say that I think your mortgage broker should be at the top of your call list. You know, like downgrade your mum to number two in your phone book and put your mortgage broker up the top there, because they're someone that you should check in with pretty much on a regular basis, because they're almost going to be like the hub of the wheel of these people here. Now, your mortgage broker also gets to deal with a lot of the other people that are on this list on a regular basis. So if you don't have any of the other people that I'm going to mention, first port of call is your mortgage broker has probably got someone that they deal with on a regular basis and they can recommend. And again, a good one is going to match your personality to the right person. You might want someone that's a bit sort of, cuddly and user friendly, or you might want someone that's just straight down the line and really blunt with you as well. So it's all a large part of this is you getting along with their sort of their personalities too. Now, the next person on the list is somebody that's going to be looking after your personal insurance. Okay, now personal insurance, we're looking at income protection insurance and your disability insurance. All right, so they are the two things that are most underassured in Australia. So we insure our homes, our cars, we even take our business insurance and such, but people often forget to insure the one thing that keeps all of these mortgages and keeps all of this fun going, and that's your income stream as well. So whether you're self-employed or whether you've got a job, your PAYG, pay as you go, you need to actually insure your income, because if you get sick or fall over or break your leg or something, we don't want to have to look at selling everything as well. I used to joke with my clients years ago, if they didn't want to look at personal insurance, I'd say, okay, well, if something goes wrong, what's the first thing you're going to sell? And they go, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you've got to pay these mortgages back, and your income, if you're even if you're in a job, your sick leave doesn't go on forever. It only goes on for X amount of time, and then your employer may look at replacing you in the role. So think about that. If you don't want to have insurance, how long do you think you could last without it? And this insurance, you can, again, go out and source it yourself and spend time actually going through it, or there are professionals that will actually source it through you. Now, that comes under the heading of a financial advisor or financial planner. And I'll let you into a bit of a secret. Advisor, planner, they're pretty much an interchangeable word between them. Some of them don't like the word planner. Some of them don't like the word advisor. Essentially, they look after a couple of key areas. They're looking at your risk, and they're also looking at your investments and protecting you around these things as well. Some financial advisors slash planners don't like property as an investment, and some of them do. So if that's something that you want to invest into, if something that you want within your portfolio, have a conversation with them up front. If they say, no, I don't like property, or I'm not a big fan of it, or this or that, then that's cause for you to actually then probably, you know, look at somebody else. They'll all have experience around shares. They'll all have different rates of experience about, you know, what to do with shares. If you want to invest in foreign shares, or whether it's just, you know, in Australian shares, have a conversation with them about, oh, look, I've got this money and what would you advise? What they do, unlike a mortgage broker gets paid by the lender that you get your money from. So they're paid a commission for doing that. You'll find with financial advisors that they are a fee for service. Now, they have to, by law, declare what their fee is up front, and you will pay a fee for them putting everything together. They do receive some remuneration for when they're doing the insurances. And don't worry, they will disclose all of that to you. Now, the next one is someone that is looking after the other types of insurance. So this is an insurance broker, which is not always applicable for everybody. So if you're just somebody that don't have a complex need for insurance, you might then just do the normal, you know, sort of, you know, go to NRMA or whatever for your car insurance. But if you're self-employed, I highly recommend that you have an insurance broker, because when you're self-employed, there's a lot of levels as to what types of insurance you need, because you need insurance, you need professional indemnity insurance for your business. You also need insurance for the stock that you hold, for your public liability. Someone walks in, trips over. You've got investment properties, you're going to need a thing called landlord's insurance, which I've got a whole episode on just landlord's insurance coming up later on. And then, of course, if there's any vehicles within the business. Now, the time it's going to spend you to investigate and sort out all of these insurances, and should you be with the same company, again, this is something that there is a trained and qualified professional that's actually going to do all of that for you. The value that they're going to add to you, and again, have a conversation with them, but that's time that you could spend with your family, playing sport, sitting in the pub, relaxing, and it's a much better use of your time. Now, the next person is an accountant. They're not just there to add up the columns and lodge your tax return. They're also going to be keeping you abreast of the changes that have actually happened in the tax laws between the last time you submitted, and helping you plan for the future as well, and working in with your other teammates. The next person is your lawyer or property conveyancer. A conveyancer and a lawyer, and we've got a whole show coming up on all of this later on. But a conveyancer is a legal representative who specializes in property law. So when you're buying or selling property, whereas a lawyer can actually advise on other general parts of law. And within lawyers as well, they obviously then have specialists. You have family law, you have property law, you've got corporate law as well. So you might not actually need a lawyer on tap. But again, your mortgage broker will probably have somebody that they deal with on a regular basis. So they can actually sort of refer you off to someone if and when you need it. If you are self-employed from experience and from running various different businesses over the years, you're probably going to find that you actually you have one that you're associated with anyway, because you'd have had contracts drawn up at the beginning and such like that. But you don't need to have them on retainer. Now, the last person I've actually got down here is an investment property specialist or an investment property planner as well. So again, this is somebody who holds a professional qualification. So that's a qualification within the Real Estate Institute of the appropriate state. Maybe they actually hold qualifications across different states as well. But this is somebody that's actually got a method and a logic to why they're actually looking at particular properties. Now, again, you need to interview these people and you need to ask them, how do they actually do these things? What's their qualifications before? And what type of things that they do recommend and don't recommend as well. And be open, in fact, with all of these people for them giving you information and talking to you about options that you may never thought of before. Because as I said earlier on, you want this team of experts, you're building this team for your business, and you want to actually learn from these people. If you've ever read the Richard Branson book, he actually talks about in his business, he always employs someone smarter than himself. And that's the same thing with all of these people here as well. You don't have to do it. Don't sit down, please, and try and learn all of this stuff via Google one evening with a glass of red wine. It's just not worth it. Your job is to ask questions of your team of people. If you're not happy with their questions, maybe it's time for you to look for somebody else on that team as well. But don't take it all on yourself. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you've got any further questions, feel free to connect with me either via LinkedIn or you can email me, owen@cleverinvestor.com.au. Coming up over the next couple of shows, we've got a special on rent vesting, and we're going to be delving a little bit deeper into what numbers you need to know before you start applying for any type of finance.
You have been listening to the Clever Investor Podcast, a weekly podcast dishing up the easiest to understand finance program served in bite-sized chunks so your brain will thank you as your knowledge grows. If you enjoyed the show, we'd love you to leave a review. It's the best way for us to reach new listeners. For more information, go to thecleverinvestor.com.au.